You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two. Great to have you guys with me tonight, and great to be back after a small bout with something or other called the flu. I'm slowly feeling like I can do this again, Conrad. It's like riding a bike.
There you go. I'm proud.
Yeah. Do you ride a bike?
I haven't in a while, to be honest.
You think you could ride one now?
I can ride one in the gym, you know.
A two-wheeler? Okay. Well, that works.
I guess.
Sure, yeah. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite Super Bowl commercial from last night's broadcast? I said the Harrison Ford Jeep commercial. Conrad liked the one with the horse comes into the bar and delivers the keg, as did Conrad's father. Interesting. I think they might be in cahoots. Either way, that was a great commercial too. Jim from Appleton says his favorite commercial was the flag football commercial. I think it was Nike. Oh, that's right.
That was a great commercial.
That was a great to make flag football a sport in every state for girls,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That was a great commercial, yeah. Tom from New Berlin says, Jane Love. Well said, Tom. Short and to the point, and who doesn't agree with that? Mike Clements comes up at, he joins us at 7:35 to talk about the Super Bowl. And, you know, part of the problem with getting sick when I did is I feel like I missed all this fun chat about this huge event that, you know, is kind of fun to talk about on the radio. And I kind of feel like you and Aaron stole my thunder on Friday, Conrad.
There's March Madness coming, all right?
Okay.
We can talk about that.
All right, very good. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome a good friend of ours. She is a regular on the show. She usually comes into the studio, but we decided to do this over the stream so I don't get her sick. At least that was my ulterior motivation, even though you can't keep Heather out of the studio. She's just that much of a gamer. She is the business development director at the Green Bay Children's Museum and our good friend, Heather Heil. Heather, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm glad you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. Boy, it's something else. Do you get sick?
Honestly, I've been with the Children's Museum for 13 years. It's kind of a petri dish, so
yeah.
not very much anymore. It's very rare.
My wife never did either, and she's a teacher. And I think like teachers and people like you that work in those environments have really good immune systems. But this winter, for whatever reason, we didn't get our flu shots. Shame on us. I don't know what we were thinking, but it backfired. It was miserable. But I'm glad you could join me, even if it's not in studio. We'll do studio again next time. So how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Just trying to stay awake today after being up a little bit past my bedtime watching that Super Bowl last night. But
how about that?
Everyone's kind of in that same boat.
Yeah. What did you think of the Super Bowl?
The game overall I thought was kind of boring. There was really no skin in the game for me. I mean, as much as I like the Detroit Lions, I would have loved to see them play to have something to cheer for. But I did enjoy most of the Super Bowl commercials.
What do you have a favorite commercial?
I had two, I would think, and you'll laugh at this because you know I like to take notes and do things even when there's no reason to do it. I was grading the commercials as I was going through.
Whoa, that is so OCD and awesome.
I know. And so I was like, man, these people spent $8 million for that commercial.
Wow.
Fired. You get fired tomorrow. I did love the Nike messaging with putting yourself first. If you can't win, so win. I thought that was really positive and powerful messaging. And then, of course, there was a Wanda Sykes commercial about breast cancer. Seeing breast other than when you are just thinking they're fun. So
sure. That commercial in particular was one where, and her voice is so recognizable, but I was kind of just putzing during those commercials. And when she started talking, it like made me stop in my tracks. And I looked at the TV and watched the entire commercial. That was a really powerful ad.
Yeah, agreed. So I thought that, the messaging with those things was really pretty great last night.
Excellent choice. You say now, this is interesting because I know you're a huge Packer fan. You're kind of like Mrs. Green Bay. No. You're married to your Packers, but you still said if the Lions were in it. And that's kind of how I am too. Like, the Packers aren't my first team, but I feel like I would cheer for an NFC North team if they made it to the Super Bowl, even if my team didn't. And I applaud you for that.
Yeah, and I probably Bears. I don't know that I could ever cheer for the Vikings if they went to. Well, maybe because they've never been there. But, it just was I had no skin in the game last night.
Where does the hatred? I understand the Chicago-Green Bay rivalry. It's so old. And there's a kind of a fun, lighthearted Chicago-Wisconsin rivalry. But where does the Viking, like, Minnesota and Wisconsin are such similar states. And Con, feel free to weigh in on this too. But where does this start with the Packers and the Vikings? Why is there so much bad blood there?
Personally, I don't know where it started. It clearly started somewhere. But I feel with the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings, those games are, it's anybody's game. So I think that's why they're just such heated rivalries between each other, because anyone could win those games at any given time.
Okay. That's a very diplomatic answer. How are you feeling about the draft? Are you going to be involved in that in any way? Or is pretty much everyone in the community going to be, whether they want to or not, involved in pulling off this draft that's coming up?
I really believe so. There are so many wonderful things, and we're trying to really put our best foot forward and welcome people to our community. I have put my name in the ring to help out where I can. I have not been notified yet, so I will probably instead be a part of the problem and be out there watching and doing and experiencing and having fun with that. But if, there were an opportunity for me to do something, I would volunteer in a heartbeat.
Like, in terms of bringing your business development background to the program, or offering your couch, what are you willing to do? Just about anything to help get this done.
Not my home, unless I know you. however, I'm there to help with whatever is needed for the team and the city. I would absolutely do any of those things. I really would love to be security, like beefy security.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Let me see your badge before you come.
That would be pretty cool.
Right.
But don't you think it'd be kind of cool if you had Roger Goodell wanted to use your hide a bet or something? Like, he, let's say, a big, huge oversight. The commissioner doesn't have a room.
Oh, shoot. Yes. I would welcome him in with open arms, because we would have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no kidding. Heather Hiles, my guest, she's the business director of development at the Green Bay Children's Museum. And I love that you said, I had so much stuff I wanted to talk to you about tonight, but you said, I really would like to talk about movies, because you're getting through the Best Picture nominees. So let's compare and contrast. I've seen 7. I have 3 to go.
See, I'm only 3 in. I am so behind, Pete, and so thankful for the snowstorm this weekend, because it gave me time to stop. But it's so, for me, it's culturally important for me to watch all of these films, because they have been nominated for some reason. And I challenge anyone out there watching or listening to do the same thing. They are uncomfortable. Some of them are boring, but they are topics that just really make you stop and think and see some of the best performances and movies that you've ever seen. The ones that I've seen, Pete, as far as cinematography goes, has been unbelievably mind-blowing. I watched Conclave yesterday, and I thought it was, kind of boring, but beautifully, beautifully done. It was like a picture the entire time.
That's interesting. I liked it. Yeah, I thought, I was just talking to Jane Matinera about this, and I thought without the ending they had, I don't know that I would have liked it that much, but I kind of thought that was a cool ending, and I thought it was, what I find interesting about that movie, just from a polarization standpoint, is that audiences loved it, Catholics and non-Catholics.
Yeah,
which gave me a little bit of hope, they're okay with the ending. And it was, I liked it overall, but because of the ending, I think. So that's interesting you say that.
Yeah, it was slow to get through, but I also am a huge Stanley Tucci fan. So love him in everything. So
he is great.
That also was probably my boring factor that made me through that. But I also this weekend watched The Substance.
Me too. Okay, you first.
So gory. I didn't.
Awful.
The gore. I had to look away. How about you?
It was absolutely grotesque. I thought, I've had critics on from time to time that will say, well, it's a horror film. You know, things go wrong. And I think, oh, what, her skin droops or something? No, no. Much, much worse. It escalates into this. It reminded me of a film called Reanimator from the 80s, where it was just like, it was so grotesque.
I mean, my definition of horror is scary and pushing you beyond bound, but this was just visually a lot.
Yeah.
I have a pretty tough stomach, but I had a hard time. I had to, like I said, shut my eyes. I did find it fascinating, though, how I didn't find it to be a feminist film. I know that some of the reviews did say that about Demi Moore, I think, should win from watching that for her.
She's good.
She was really fantastic in that. Lots of nudity, very shocking, but the feminine self-hatred and how we let others define us, I thought was really pivotal in that. And I kind of thought about the Ozempic pandemic that a lot of people are choosing,
right,
with that movie, that women are, because this is what the film was related to, are so wanting to alter their bodies for outside perception of that's the limits they'll take it to.
Isn't that crazy? And that's what it was. I mean, some people even said, well, it's a funny horror film. I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was sad that this woman, and for those of you who aren't aware, Demi Moore plays a fitness guru who reaches the age of 50, and she decides to take this substance to tap back into her youth, and it's supposed to make her look different, but it's much more than that. It's a big process, and things get carried away. I didn't like, pardon me, I don't think as a movie I loved it. I thought it got really crazy at the end.
Yes.
Where I was just like, this is no longer about the parody, or that it just kind of got off the rails for me. But she was great, and I thought it was really gross.
Yes, agreed. But I do feel it's worth watching. Just know you are just, I had to pause it a few times and again look away. So
yeah.
But again, very, very interesting. And then the last one that I've seen, Pete, is Amelia Perez. I watched that on Netflix.
Perfect. I just watched that too. I finished that last week when I was home under the weather. So let's pick it up there, Heather.
Okay.
Heather Heil is here. We're talking about Oscar films. She's seen three. I have three to go, but you just watched the same ones I just saw. So these are all fresh in my mind. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's Nightlight on a Monday night, coming to you live from downtown Green Bay, wherever you are in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, getting through a Monday night with some Set Adrift. Good choice, Conrad. My name is Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, post-Super Bowl, post-holidays. Heather Heil is here. Heather, what do we look forward to before we jump into Amelia Perez? We've got the holidays in the rear view, the Super Bowl. Unless you love St. Patrick's Day or Easter, what do we have to look forward to between now and summer?
The days are getting longer, Pete.
Days
are getting longer.
Very well said. See, Conrad, you didn't want to have Heather on, and I said no.
What?
He always contributes.
What? That's not true.
Conrad, you're going to eat your words, because I have some Valentine's Day things that you are totally going to want to do, and I was thinking of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
That is a great answer. Yeah. Hey, Conrad will take, I'm a bad gift getter, so anything you can throw Conrad's way, just sign it from both of us if you would. All right. Heather Heil is here. She is my guest right now. She works at the Green Bay Children's Museum, where she is the director of business development. Always great to have her on the show. What did you think of Amelia Perez? This got 13 Oscar nominations, and I just saw it too. You can go first, though.
I feel like, well, first and foremost, I didn't realize it was a musical crime thriller. So that was, that took me back a little bit. A lot of subtitles, and not that that's bad that there's subtitles, but when you're not expecting it.
But sometimes two sets of subtitles. When they're singing, you've got the italicized subtitles, and then they're speaking Spanish, you've got the other subtitles. It can be confusing at times.
That was hard, but I also really loved that it was basically about three women in Mexico pursuing their happiness in different ways. So, and I do love a good musical. I just wasn't expecting any of that. It was very bizarre to me. But again, that culture, and one of the characters is a drug lord, trans person. So again, just very, very topical.
Right. Well, here's where I'm at. When I first read what the film was about, and for those of you that don't know, a drug cartel leader wants to have a sex change operation and hires Zoe Saldana to facilitate it, find the surgeon, hide his money, fake his death, and then he's going to live the rest of his life as a woman. And he's going to take care of his kids and his wife, and they'll be taken care of. That I found fascinating. Like, I have to watch this. Well, then I found out, wait a minute, it's a musical. Oh, wait a minute. And then it's got, I didn't like the look of it at first. And there are parts of the movie that are fascinating, like where he's a woman now, but he's not really a different person. He still wants to control his kids, and he comes back in their lives and says he's their aunt, and things get complicated. And Zoe Saldana is really good. But it just didn't really, I didn't love it as a movie.
I didn't either. I am a big Selena Gomez fan as well. So I love that she was in it. I thought she did really great with her role. I agree with you, Pete. It was just very different to watch.
Yeah, a bit of an unsatisfying ending too. But I love the element of it. Like, are you really, okay, you're changing your appearance and your gender, but does that make you a different person? And it didn't in this movie. Like, she was still vindictive.
But she was trying with the things that she was doing, I feel, with her good deeds. She was just trying to be happy and not be that awful drug lord anymore.
Correct. And it didn't really work out very well. But I won't spoil the ending or anything.
Yes.
So what's next on your agenda? You've got 7 films left. You've got about 4 weeks, not quite 4 weeks.
I was really glad that you called, and I was looking to you of which ones I need to make sure I get in there.
All right. Here's what I would say.
Yes.
Not necessarily in this order. I would say you got to see A Complete Unknown. Mm-hmm. Really liked it. Really just a good movie, whether you're a Bob Dylan fan or not.
Yes.
I went to see it with my parents, who are in their early 80s, and they were not huge Dylan fans, and they're his age. But they liked the movie too. It was just a really, really well done movie. I liked Wicked. It was really entertaining. I don't know if I would vote for Best Picture, but I think it's something you'll like. Anora is another one I'd be interested to talk to you about, because this is about an exotic dancer who meets the son of a Russian oligarch, and they have this fling and decide to get married, and then things kind of go off the rails and the kid's parents aren't very happy. I really have become a huge fan of Sean Baker's work, the director, but I thought his other film, A Florida Project, was much better than this. Okay. This was entertaining, but you know. And I haven't seen The Brutalist yet, but those are the ones I haven't seen. The Brutalist or Nickel Boys. Here's another film I like, though, Heather. I really liked A Real Pain.
A Real Pain. Yep.
Yeah. That's the one with Kieran Culkin and Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
For some reason, it's not showing up here on my list, but it's very good. Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, but it was really entertaining.
Yeah. And again, I like to be uncomfortable and be pushed and, you know, broaden my mind. So that's this time of year is for me. Plus I love award show season. So when it's on, what is it? March 2nd to watch along and see who
it's
wins.
Coming up. It's coming up. Hey, before we let you go, what's going on at the Children's Museum? Anything you can tell us about?
Yeah, well, we have with Valentine's Day coming up, we'd have a Galentine's Day
thing
for 21 and older is on February 13th from 6 to 8. We do ask that you register. It's $22 a person. And with that, you get two drinks. We do have non-alcoholic drinks available too, but we'll have wine and beverages, some charcuterie. You can explore the exhibits and see what the museum is all about with your friends, and some fun craft projects that you can take home with you. So you can find that on our website, and come on out for with the girls for Valentine's Day.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, like, for you all Valentine's doing, you know, the couples thing, just my like heartfelt advice is just let your Valentine be seen. So Pete, see Conrad, acknowledge him, and just, yeah, maybe send him a Venmo for coffee or something.
But all right.
Let him be seen. All right.
Now you're making it weird. You know what we'll do though? Maybe
buy
we'll
him some eggs.
Oh yeah. I can't afford eggs. But maybe we'll come over one of these days and visit you in your Petri dish.
I would love that.
I think
that would be my favorite. For real. You should.
Heather, you're so much fun. Thank you very much. All right. Heather Heil. Visit the Green Bay Children's Museum. It's a great place. She does a great job. And watch movies with us, folks. We're coming back after the news with Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority, on the Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Will Travis Kelce retire or won't he? How did Zach Bond do? What is the next big thing we have to look forward to in the NFL? Those are all questions that I'm hoping our next guest can answer. He is the Civic Media Sports Authority, and he joins us now on the phone, Mr. Mike Clemens. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you? Are you feeling better?
Oh, man, I'm getting there. I feel a step slow, but I'm getting through it, man. It's just good to be on the air again. I've been so bored the last 5 days. So thank you for asking, though.
Yeah, no, I know teams that are going through it, you know, like NBA teams, football teams that are through the end, so whatever.
I heard the Eagles were having a bout, or it was going through the Eagles, and I thought, oh, boy, this is going to make Kansas City three-peat, and then that thrashing happened last night, so I don't know if it was true or not, but how's it going down there?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jalen Carter suddenly was not available. I was looking for him because I just wanted to get to know him. I didn't want to talk about the Georgia car accident. I figured that was
right.
covered territory. But I just think he's just such a force as a football player. And I was asking around to some of the beat reporters, one that used to work with us in Milwaukee and Green Bay, and now she works in Philadelphia. And I said, did you see 98? No, I thought maybe you had. No. And then at Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he was a no-show due to illness, they say. Now, he was, like, limited in practice. Seemed to look good in the game. I wondered if the Eagles just wanted to let him not take questions from national guys or, you know, guys shooting from the hip to kind of, you know, review the car accident from a couple of years ago. He was in a car accident. They were speeding. A friend of his in the car was killed. He did not go to the authorities right away, if I remember correctly. Anyway, yeah. His, you know, stock dropped quite a bit in the draft, but the Eagles went ahead and took him. And they said, yeah, we know it's kind of controversial, but we're going to work with this kid. And here's Howie Roseman there lifting the Lombardi again, right?
Jeez. They were like the perfect team to take him too, right, Mike? Because they had all these veterans and he was, you know, seemed like he was all over the place as a young guy. But boy, he sure had a nice moment with the coach last night after the game. It seems like he's kind of growing up a little bit.
I didn't see that. What happened?
They just shared a moment. It was a hug and I think it was a couple words and they gave each other a big smile. It was just a nice moment because I remember thinking, oh, I hope my team doesn't draft him because he was going, you know, as talented as he was, that car accident. And then he heard he had this penchant for driving fast everywhere he went, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's trouble.
He might be the next Arnold. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just, I mean, he throws two linemen around at a time from his defensive tackle position. He clogs up things. And that was what was so amazing last night, is that, you know, you would watch Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense, and they were running stunts. They were crisscrossing. But Vic Fangio, he just was sending four straight. And he might have some little technique to say, okay, you know, it's just straight ahead. But, you know, this guy seems to, you know, struggle if they're coming in on the right shoulder than the left shoulder. So aim for this, do this with your hands. You might have small little technique, things like that. So it's really cool because I got to, you know, visit with Vic Fangio twice and sort of get to know him a little bit more. He's this guy who, you know, is just legendary going from team to team and then had a head coach gig there for a while. But all these coaches just really, you know, they talk very highly of him. He's got this great record for defenses, except he was 0-8 against Patrick Mahomes until last night. And then he just, you know, shattered him. But Fangio is this guy who's very matter of fact. He would be like a good chemistry teacher at the board, you know, just right to the point, like a math teacher, right? But then I asked him about Zach Bond. I said, how about this guy who went to Brown Deer High School on the north side of Milwaukee, played quarterback. When he got to Madison to play for the Badgers, they said, you know, you might be better off playing linebacker. So they switched him over to linebacker. He got drafted by the Saints. The Saints only used him as a special teams player. So he signed a one-year deal with the Eagles, and Vic Fangio, this, you know, one of the top defensive coordinators of all time, says, I see something in this kid. And look at him with that pick against the Packers, leading in tackles, and then a pick like that in the Super Bowl. What a stud. What a story this guy's had.
Yeah, he had like six sacks, too, this year. He's only 28. I mean, the guy it's phenomenal. But the Eagles just plugged in all these guys, Cooper DeJean and, like, everybody. And maybe it's Fangio, Mike, like what you were saying. He is kind of a legendary defensive coordinator, but, man, he gets guys to play together.
Yeah, when Cooper had that pick last night, Andy Herman, who does, I don't know if his one's a pack a day or something like that, he's a podcaster. He says, well, there's a lot of people going to say the Packers should have taken him, you know, like it's an old joke or something. But it's like, Andy, yeah, they should have taken him. I mean, you know, before that interception last night, they should have taken him, because look what happened. Eric Stokes is still not the same, you know, 2 years after a serious leg injury that had him in a wheelchair and pins coming out of his knees for the first several weeks. Jaire Alexander hurt again, missed half the games. You know, you needed some help there, and Carrington Valentine is not the answer. So a lot of the draft experts thought, oh, you know what, Green Bay, they like to take these kinds of guys, and from Iowa, the Kirk Ferentz program, and we think that he'll go at 25. And he didn't. He had a broken leg in his senior year at Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that was part of the reason, but he went 40th in the second round to the Eagles, and look at that kid last night. He's returning punts. He's, you know, he's a good cover guy, and he's only going to get better, and, you know, and a smart player. So I sat down with him and had a nice 10-minute conversation. I've got like a little podcast going now, so if people miss this stuff, they can catch it on there. So
Where can they hear it, Mike? Is it on the Civic Media website? Where can people hear that?
Yeah, no, it's like on Spotify, I think. A friend set it up for me, but it's Googled. It's Mike Clemens' Packers Report.
Okay.
And, yeah, we should get it hooked up to our Civic Media website, too, so that would be an easy way to find it. But so I sat down with him, and I posted this a couple of nights ago because, you know, here's a kid that he's born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They moved to this Old Bolt, Iowa, population 985. I said, how many kids were in your class? He said, I graduated with 80 kids. Did you have enough for the football team? He says, yeah, we played 11. But, you know, I played quarterback. I played safety, and I kicked, you know. So,
oh, my gosh. And he just turned 22. So that's 3 years ago, you know?
And he turned 22, you know, on the Super Bowl. And he walked into the game yesterday wearing his high school letter jacket from Old Bolt, Iowa. God. Isn't that?
That's a great story.
He's like Clark Kent. He's like Clark Kent.
Mike, what else did you hear down there? Are there rumors about Travis Kelce retiring, or did anything big happen during the week that we might find interesting? You must have had a really fun week down there.
There's like 100 stories. I mean, you know, you get up at about 6:30 or 7, and you dash in, and we have to rent a house because the rooms are just too expensive downtown. Okay. And so we rented a house. It ended up being right on the Gulf in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Hmm. And then you take the long bridge that goes over Lake Pontchartrain. Remember the song In the Heart of the Night from Poco?
Good tune.
It's talking about that area. And then you get in, and then you've got to go through security. And the tightest TSA-type security you've ever been in, unfortunately, with things that like happen on New Year's Day in New Orleans or on the Cotton Bowl. So you go from one press conference to another, but during the Super Bowl week, these football players and coaches and anybody else there, the season's over now. I mean, there's one game left, and they open up, and they've reached the mountaintop, and they talk all about their lives and influences, and they give you great stories. And it's just, you know, by 9 o'clock at night, you know, you've gone to your last press conference or whatever, and you don't know where to start. And then I work till 2 or 3 in the morning, and I get done. And maybe if I get 3 hours of sleep somewhere in there or take a nap here and there, but it's like that for 7 days because it's just, you meet so much little things. I turn around, there's an interview show that's on television, and the name of the host is Graham Bessinger. Have you seen him? He does one-on-one interviews, usually with sports athletes.
Okay.
It's like on Sunday nights at 10:30, Graham Bessinger. Google it because he's got an amazing lineup. I just saw his uncut version. The show's a half hour long and syndicated. But he sat down and talked to Bob Costas for over an hour. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. I didn't know that, you know, Costas was kind of a bookie in high school. That his old man gotten into gambling. His father had gotten into gambling so bad that they had to move out of New York because, you know, the rough guys were after him. They had to move to the Midwest. That's how he got sort of familiar.
Is that right? Wow.
KMOX. Oh, just, it's like great stories like that all the time. I get them every year when I go to the Super Bowl. So I got to meet Graham and talk about his show, you know, and he does 18 of them a year. And he's talked to like every major athlete that's around.
That's so cool. I assume now, at least in Northeast Wisconsin or the state of Wisconsin, all the eyes turn to the draft, which is right around the corner. I know we got free agency and the combine and that, but when will you start gearing up to cover that?
You know, I just got done working 7 days a week since training camp, right? And the guys that do the draft, I mean, on Saturdays, there's a lot of, I'm just being fully honest. On Saturdays, I'm usually, you know, every other weekend, I'm at an airport, and the draft guys, of course, are watching five college games. So I usually rely on some of those guys. I've got a friend named Chad Reuter, who is just a draft Nick, as we call it.
Right.
Here's a guy who 20 years ago, Pete, he's like a computer programming guy. But he would, you know, watch college games, and then he'd see some of these scouting guides that came out that were on, you know, on the store shelf, like at a Walgreens or whatever, a newsstand. And he said, "That's garbage." I was like, "Did they even watch these games?" So he started doing his own scouting. He would watch the college games, and because he's good on a computer and good on the internet, he started dialing around. And he said there's a lot of information out there that you can get, like times and weights and wingspans and, you know, measurements and that kind of thing. So he started putting out this guide. It was about 600 pages, and he would email it to us, and we would download and talk about it. Then he started selling the guides. One day he got a knock on his door in his apartment in Madison, And it was two guys in black suits. They were NFL security. And they said, where are you getting this stuff? They were, the league was convinced this guy was hacking into team scouting reports. Today, he works for the NFL.
Oh, he's that's that a great story.
Yeah.
That he's is been fantastic. A scout
for the Broncos. Yeah, he quit the day job. Chad Reuter is his name. He writes a column at NFL.com. So that's a guy that I've met about 20 years ago. And, you know, if I start seeing things I'm interested in, I'll call him. I said, do you think No, Green Bay has no interest in that guy. And he goes, because he spent all last week at the Senior Bowl, and I can't go to the Senior Bowl and Super Bowl at the same time.
You know? Right.
So,
Mike, I want to ask you, I don't know what your thoughts were on the halftime show, but I thought I saw a really cool video today. I want to just ask you about it regarding Kendrick Lamar. So no pressure. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, it's no big deal, but we'll have another couple minutes left with Mike Clemens after a very short break here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. If you want to get a quick text in under the wire, our question of the night is, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Right now, we have a couple more minutes with our pal Mike Clemens. He's the Civic Media Sports Authority, still down in New Orleans. Did a great job all week covering the Super Bowl. Mike, I saw this video today. I think it was on Yahoo Entertainment or whatever, but Kendrick Lamar, they were whisking him off the field, and these security guards were shouting at the NFL halftime crew, get out of the way, get out of the way. Like, it was like someone had just made an attempt on his life or something, but there had to be 20 personnel, security personnel around him. It was intense. Did you happen to notice that, or were you anywhere near that or aware of it?
No, I watched some of the program. I went to his press conference last week to learn a little about him. Okay. I want to tell you, hey, I got to go to the Super Bowl. You know, you think about to have fun and a big game and lots of personalities and all that. I couldn't help but just feel a little bit more brokenhearted. And, it wasn't so long ago that you went to Washington, D.C., and if you went to our nation's capital, you could just walk into the building like a public library in Wausau. Yeah, no you just kidding. Walk, you, or a post office. It was just right. A government building. And now these places are fortresses, Pete. I mean, the concrete and the locks and the checks. And then I have to look into a camera, and it has to identify me. And then I've got, scan stuff on my credentials that they have to look at. And then my, the media shuttle bus, with approved guys, and there's about 10 or 15 of us legacy media. Yeah, because we actually get off our butts and actually report. We don't just sit at home with equipment we bought at Best Buy and make up a bunch of conspiracy theories. All right. So we're on this bus, and we're going to the Eagles press conference in the afternoon in the downtown hotel. They have these temporary gates now. They've got one at American Family Field. It's a big, heavy chunk of metal. It kind of looks like a bridge, but it goes up, and they can move it around. They can pull it off a truck and set it up and turn it into a car bomb or truck bomb proof bridge. It's a fence that goes up. It goes up to about your waist. So they had that thing there, and they were about to lower it, but the guys make our bus driver stop. And I'm like, well, what am I going to stop now for? Because it's all these stops and all these security checks. And it's because they had two agents with bomb sniffing dogs that had to look underneath the underneath the media shuttle bus with the bomb sniffing dogs, and you know, 15 of us goofy, you know, reporters, media people, producers and stuff. And it's just, you know, it's just so sad. I mean, it seems like the more we build walls and the more security we have, and I'm all in favor of security. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. I want TSA to make sure there's no guns or bombs getting on that plane. We should have had that before 9/11. But it just seems like the more walls we build up, the more crazies we seem to develop, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It just escalates everything. And I don't know what you do, but because I'm with you, I want to make sure I'm secure, at least be told I'm secure, you know, but it's, that's
so
very well said, Mike.
His security, I could, you know, it was everywhere. And, you know, and I guess Trump was in the building. I saw him enter in the field during the pregame, but I don't know if they put him up on the scoreboard. You know, I was looking at a football game with binoculars and taking down notes. So I know this was funny. I saw Paul McCartney getting on either like a concourse or, you know, entering a suite. And it's like, man, that looks like McCartney. And then he turned and was going in the door. I was like, that's McCartney. How about that? And, you know, there's a couple of people around him. And then later they put his picture up on the scoreboard and he was there, and Kevin Hart, the comedian, and Lady Gaga. I saw her. Apparently she had sang a song earlier in the day or something. And then there's Kevin Costner, Mr. Field of Dreams, Mr. What's that series he did?
Waterworld.
Yellowstone. And sitting next to him is Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live. And
saw that, yeah.
You know, remember that game you play with your kids? One of these things don't belong. I mean, is it because, you know, he was with Kim for like 8 or 9 months? He's now a tier A celebrity. So, you know,
I have no idea.
I didn't know anything about Kendrick Lamar. And so I did a little studying and found out, yeah, he won Record of the Year last weekend at the Grammys. He's won 22 Grammys. He's also won a Pulitzer for his work.
How about
and
that?
And the thing is that he's a rapper who, and I went to his press conference, the halftime press conference, and the host there just interviewed him, and he had a brilliant statement. He said, you know, I'm from Compton. There are guys in there that are so inarticulate and so full of anger and frustration, either because they come from broken families or the drugs or the violence or whatever, that they can't express themselves. And it dawned on me, these guys, I've got the talent. I know how to tell these stories.
Yeah.
It dawned on me, I need to be their voice. So it's very heavy, stuff. I don't know if that's for a football game, but, you know, whatever. The league gave this guy a huge platform, and a lot more people know who he is. And you know, maybe he's got a point.
And it didn't stop him last night, regardless of the venue. He let his thoughts be heard, and it was pretty powerful stuff. Mike, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you jumping on. I know you've had a long week. Hope you get some rest, and keep up the absolutely outstanding work, my friend.
Thank you, Pete. I love Nightlight. Take care. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Clemens. Conrad, how much time do we have?
We have about 30 seconds.
All right, I'm off my game. We have about 3 or 4 texts I did not get to, folks. We will get to those tomorrow. We'll do those in the opening tomorrow. We'll switch it up.
There we go.
So, Bridget, Steady Eddie, Anna, you are not forgotten about. It was just great to talk to Mike and get his thoughts from the Super Bowl, and I kind of ran out of time, so I apologize. And Steve from Milwaukee will read your text tomorrow as well. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks to Mike Clemens, Heather Heil, and Jane Matinair. And thank you to the lovable producer, Conrad. We'll be back tomorrow night to do this all over again. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.